First of all, I'd like to thank our staff, who isn't here yet, because they have been working so hard and are working as we speak to make it possible for us to get this far. I'd like to thank staff from the Departments of Health and Human Services, that also many of whom have worked very hard to help us get this far. There were some principles that we had in trying to put this bill together, and many of those principles we've been able to live up to. The first is that we've kept the integrity of the Healthcare Access Fund in this proposal. We have made no cuts in eligibility in this proposal. We have not accepted major cuts to child care. We did not eliminate dental care, therapies, chiropractic, or podiatry care. We've tried to mitigate cuts that impact people with mental illness. We are preserving the safety net for our MFIP clients and providing more supported work for them during this recession. We have many reform proposals in this bill that we're recommending, and not all of them are fiscal noted yet. And so we will be expecting more fiscal notes, even though we cannot hold this bill back any further. And as those fiscal notes come along, we will try and continue to make improvements in the bill. The governor said recently, a couple of days ago, in the public, that we must cut health and human services in order to control health care costs. Well, we all know in this room that cuts to eligibility and across-the-board rate cuts in public programs does not control health care costs. It shifts those health care costs onto private insurance. And people are having a hard time today hanging on to their private insurance. In essence, it creates a hidden tax on businesses and individuals when we make those shifts. Now, that is not to say that our proposal does not contain rate cuts also. Unfortunately, we regret these. We tried to do less in the hospital area because we cut hospitals a lot last year. Many of you have helped put this proposal together, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you have not approached this as a problem of this division, but you have approached it as a problem that we share together. And we heard you. Not all of the proposals worked. Some of them are still in process. And when you see the spreadsheet, there may be something in there that you wished we had been able to do. Or there may be something in the spreadsheet that you hadn't hoped to see. We've been making lemonade this year, and I'm sure many of you will feel that there wasn't quite enough sugar for the lemonade. We feel the same way. There's little new spending in this proposal. The new spending you will see is in cases where we needed to generate money to leverage federal funding, where we needed to do things for federal compliance purposes, or where we are trying to insure more children. And we do hope that this is a work in progress and that we'll continue to improve as we move along. But we made good on many of the goals we had in a very tough year to do so. And I will remind people that our tails target was nearly as much as the governor's original cut for this biennium. And we have balanced our budget for both this biennium and next biennium with a 7% cut. And so with that, I'd like to have the fiscal spreadsheets handed out to the division members and staff first, and then I would like everyone to remain seated unless you don't have a chair, and then I would like you to remain standing, and we will hand the spreadsheets out to you in your places.
Lost. Stop going. said her name.
Okay.
She was.
That's what I was
about. Yeah.
You guys look like you're coordinating.
I feel nice. It's taken some time. It's about 2,100. It's the number of people that were covering.
You can look like you've been sent your office. Okay, you guys, you're not coming.
She said the same thing. It's hate you, but you don't have to.
It's a tough day.
21.
It's the same. Just me and her.
The committee did. It's
the same type of reactions.
It's a bad
shit.
It's
a different
reaction.
Okay.
It's really bad. That is it. It's not
a little different. There's an extra page.
I got here on one.
Okay, what is
great. Just figure out you guys to know all first.
On the, on this see personal care attendant.
Division members, most of you, I believe, have earlier versions of the spreadsheet, and you will notice that there are differences on this spreadsheet. So when you are tracking with our staff, you should be following the latest spreadsheet. And it is dated 4/24/6:19 a.m. You can tell that this has been a lot of work. It's the longest spreadsheet we've ever had, 34 pages. So isn't this lovely how nobody is getting hurt?
Thank you.
I don't have any place to put my purse.
Okay, does everyone have a spreadsheet now? All right, then we'll begin. Mr. Godfrey.
Madam Chair, members, I'll just give you a quick orientation of the spreadsheet. Starting at the left-hand column, you'll see this is where the items, the change items will be, and on the front page it's agency summaries. Middle column is the governor's recommendations. Right column is the Senate. If you look at the Senate column, you'll see on line 3, we had a target of $719.3 million. $112.9 million of which was savings that we derived through the use of the federal stimulus money that was given to this division's use, and that left us with net cuts of $606.3 million for 10 and 11. In the tails, the target for the committee was $904 million. And then we'll just begin on page 2. First item on line 76 is a governor's recommendation to reduce the general fund administrator operations of DHS. The Senate accepts this, but with some difference. The chair recommends a cut of $17 million in fiscal year in the first biennium. The next item is line.
And if I can just interrupt for a minute here, we did not take the cuts to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program or state-operated services because we don't understand, you know, exactly how those divisions are, on one hand, asking for money over what their base is, and then, on the other hand, being cut. And so we need to have more discussion about that. We don't understand it.
Madam Chair, members, then on line 87 is a small savings of $534,000 one-time money for a reduction in DHS lease costs. The next item is line 92, transfers from the Health Match Systems account. This is a Senate position. The chair is recommending a transfer of $3 million from the systems account to the general fund. Next, on line 99, you'll see the first of three entries, which are the spending of the stabilization, federal stabilization funding. The first is a $28 million appropriation to the information technology area. The next is a $33 million appropriation to the children and economic assistance management area. Then turning to page three is a $51.9 million appropriation to the state-operated services budget. And these all take place in fiscal year 10, and they all result in general fund savings. Next, on line 112 is the line background study fee governor proposal.
So if I can just interrupt again, essentially what we've done here is we've made cuts and we bought them back with our federal money. And the reason that we're doing that is because we have to show the federal government how we spent that federal money in order to meet their jobs targets. This budget is very complicated, as you can see, with 34 pages. This was the simplest way for us to display the use of this money rather than going into various Medicaid programs or other programs, and so that's how we've handled it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
First question, would you like to have our questions saved till later or at the
line
moment?
We can take questions as we go through this.
Okay. And, Madam Chair, the second question, those three stimulus funds, that makes up for the savings from the Fed dollars.
It's our 112.9.
Right, okay.
Madam Chair, members, continuing then on line 112 on page 3, governor recommendation to line background study fee. The chair is not recommending that. The chair is also not recommending the governor's proposal on restructure licensing funding. On line 129 is the governor's proposal to merge the healthcare access fund into the general fund. The chair is not recommending that item. On line 139 is the governor's recommendation to combine emergency general assistance and emergency MSA. And the chair is not recommending that item as well. On line 145 is the modified 20% income withholding for child support, and the chair is not recommending that as well. On line 151 is the governor's proposal to limit retroactive eligibility for child care assistance program, and the chair is recommending this item with savings of $304,000 in the next biennium. On line 158, page 4, the governor proposed diversionary work program changes that are not included in this bill. On line 165 is the overpayment alignment strategy, some small spending that the chair is not recommending. On line 170 is a fraud prevention investigation program proposed by the governor. The chair is recommending to do an alternative to this, which is to appropriate money to DHS for 8 FTEs, which then will be utilized by counties that currently have do not have a lot of capacity for fraud investigation, similar to a House proposal. And this approach has savings in fiscal year 10 and 11 of $710,000. Next on line 182 is a revenue recapture appeal recommendation by the governor. The chair is not recommending this item. On 189 is the investment in early learning. And the chair actually, as an alternative, the Senate or this bill will have federal stimulus funds, which will be set aside for three initiatives. They are the Family, Friend, and Neighbor Grant Program, the Quality Rating Systems Training, and Quality Rating System. And also, members, that those items, because they are the federal stimulus dollars, aren't tracked in this spreadsheet. They are tracked in a separate spreadsheet, which will be made available to you later, perhaps further on in this meeting. Next, on line 200, accelerate federal spending in the Child Care Development Fund. This is one-time savings the Senate is taking of $5.2 million in fiscal year 10. On page 5, line 210, is the governor's request for adoption assistance relative custody funding adjustment to recognize increased growth in the program. The chair is recommending funding this at the governor's level in 10 and 11, but is not funding the tails. On line 218, the governor's child permanency North Star Care proposal is not being recommended here. Next, on line 227, Protecting Children Act, this is policy, which is not included in the bill. Next, on line 237, is recovered targeted case management temporary payments, $32.6 million that the chair is recommending for 10 and 11. On line 242 is the GRH housing modifications. Governor proposal, which is included in the bill, saves $23.3 million in 10 and 11. On line 311, on page 7, MFIB caregiver work requirement modification. This was a Senator Berglund bill, and it results in general fund savings of $2 million in 10 and 11 and some small TANF savings. Next, on line 320, Senate file 422, which is a modification of MFIB stabilization and work program. This is Senator Berglund bill. This has some general fund costs of $722,000, but are covered by some other savings in the MFIB program. On line 329 is the two cuts, or beginning on 329 are two cuts to county funding for eliminating integrated service funding and MFIB consolidated fund reduction, government recommendations which are not included in the bill. Next, on line 341 is TANF refinancing, and the chair is recommending two lines on this section. The first is the one beginning on line 346, which is just a recognition of federal stimulus dollars that will be available to the TANF fund in the amount of $27.5 million in fiscal year 11. The next set of lines on beginning on 351 is some TANF refinancing, which pays for an item on the next page. And that item is an MFIB-related item. Actually, yes. Next, on line 361. Oh. Members, I'm sorry. I actually skipped over a page. If we could just go back to page 6.
He did the book participation.
No.
Page 6, beginning on line 261. Is a recommendation by the chair to use the Child Care Development Fund stimulus dollars for increased caseloads in the MFIB child care program. That results in $22.6 million in savings. The governor also has this recommendation elsewhere in the spreadsheet. Next, on line 269 are MFIB reductions from the governor's. Those aren't being done. Next, on line 280 is the work participation cash benefit recommendation from the governor. The chair is recommending this item at savings $1.8 million. Next, on line 285 is a decrease in MFIB exit level to 110% of poverty. That is not being recommended. And then on line 293 is a supported work grants items with Senate file 1150. This is being funded at a level of $6.4 million and has some offsetting savings for a total net all funds cost of $5.1 million.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, could you explain that supported work grants and the...
Well, the supported work grants are grants that are managed by the counties Sometimes they are in partnership with other organizations, nursing homes and other not-for-profit organizations, and it's a program where people are working and they are receiving a stipend or a small salary, and they're being supported by the county in their work effort. And this can last from 3 months to perhaps even a longer period of time. Oftentimes in a regular economy, it ends up either that the person gains the work experience needed to get another private sector job, or they end up getting a job with the organization that they've been working with through supported work. There is not money in the second year of the biennium in our current budget to continue funding this, and it seems like a pretty bad time with this terrible economy to not have it funded. We do get credit when people are working in these jobs against our work participation rates that are tracked by the federal government. And so it's an important thing for us to continue funding.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, then beginning on line 301 is a moratorium on the 60-month limit to MFIB. This has general fund costs of $27.9 million in the first biennium. This is the item that is paid for by the refinancing that we had already mentioned on line 350. And then
some of these families are in the general fund only because we have two-parent families who follow the same rules, but then they are not counted against our work participation requirements by the federal government, and we're treating all families the same in this legislation, so we have to refinance some of our federal TANF funds to be able to make sure that everybody has a safety net under them for 2 years, that they don't lose a grant because they run out of time on the program.
Madam Chair and members, I'd also point out that on the next page, 7 at the top, you can also see that this item has savings, significant savings in TANF of $11.1 million, and it also is eligible for receiving the TANF stimulus revenue. Next, let's flip to page 8. Since we've already gone over page 7. On page 8, beginning on line 361, is the governor's recommendation to correct base level adjustments, small cost in 10 and 11 of $288,000. On line 371, eliminate certain children and family services grants. The chair is not recommending this governor's item. Next, on line 378, this is the governor's recommendation for funding one FTE at the department to work on federal requirements to deal with improper payments in the child care program. On line 384 is, this is a combination of the governor's recommendation on drawing down this FSET revenue and the proposal that Senator Berglund had in Senate File 695. And in the first biennium, it saves more than the governor's proposal at $8.3 million. In the tails, the chair is recommending taking the governor's recommendation because that position actually saves more money in the tails in 12 and 13. On line 392, you'll see a temporary reduction to state community action grants. This is governor's proposal. The chair is recommending a smaller reduction of in fiscal year 11 of $1.9 million. And With this cut, the CCAP programs are eligible for $6 million a year in 10 and 11 from the federal stimulus package. On line 398 is TANF emergency funds, emergency temporary needs assistance expansion. The governor proposed, recommended spending $16 million on this and then being reimbursed by the federal government through the stimulus funds, $16 million. The chair is recommending $25 million here, which will be reimbursed by the federal government for a net cost of zero. Next, on page 9, line 406, is modify nursing level of care thresholds. The chair is recommending that they accept the governor's position. In total, it saves $1 million in 10 and 11 and a much larger amount in the tails. On line 420 is the PCA redesign provider standards. And this item is different than the governor's. The chair is recommending that that in the first biennium that the the eligibility portion, eligibility component of this recommendation be changed to be based on one ADL and one L1 behavioral criteria, and that would be in fiscal year 10 and 11. In the TALES, the chair is recommending taking the governor's position in the TALES for the recommendation in its entirety. However, the chair is setting aside $8.1 million on line 433 for future supports for people who may lose their eligibility as a result of this change. On line 438 is a governor's recommendation for federal compliance for Hillman and community-based services waivers, and the chair is recommending this spending at $2.5 million in 10 and 11. On line 450 is a limit disabilities waiver growth. The chair is recommending accepting the governor's position on this item for $18 million in savings. On line 461 is a governor's item to limit customized living service rates. The chair is recommending this item, $1.4 million in 10 and 11. On line 471 is a Senate item, transitional consultation for persons entering housing with services, which saves $1.3 million in 10 and 11. On line 479 is nursing facility return to community initiative. This is a Senate proposal with savings in 10 and 11 to $590,000. On 490 is alternative care payment limits for low-need recipients. This lowers the cap from $800 to $600 for people with 0 to 1 ADLs, $3.1 million in savings in 10 and 11. And then a similar proposal for elderly waiver payment limits, which saves $773,000. On line 506, page 11, is a 5% reduction of adult foster care rates for providers who are above the 95 percentile of rates.
Line 500.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Going back to page 10 is the governor's recommendation on line 500 begins there. For the elimination of nursing facility rebasing, the chair is recommending this, this item be accepted at $9.2 million in savings. On line 511 is the Senator Solon bill for nursing home moratorium exception process extension, saves one-time money of $1.6 million. On line 516 is a delay of the APS nursing home facility COLA with savings in the TALES of $17.5 million. On line 521 is the reduction in rates to higher reimbursed nursing facilities. This would be a reduction for facilities, I believe, above
64%.
And the reduction takes place on a graduated scale. So the higher you are on that scale, the deeper the cut would be. On line 526, the chair is recommending an increase in the nursing facility surcharge by $350. This brings in net savings of $16.7 million in 10 and 11. On 532 is the governor's proposal to reduce long-term provider rates, not including nursing facilities, by 3%. The chair is recommending this item save $72.1 million in the first biennium. Next, on page 12, line 548 is a change to the MA single bed payment policy, which is the governor's recommendation. The chair is recommending this item. $3.5 million. On line 553 is a simplified plan closure rate adjustment. The chair is recommending this item as well. On line 558 is the nursing facility intergovernmental transfer. This just cleans up this issue, and it's a no net cost to the state. On line 564 is eliminate or delay three continuing care grants. The chair is recommending accepting two of these reductions. The first would be on line 567, delay awarding additional community support and development grants. And the other would be on line 568, eliminate Region 10 quality assurance grants, savings of $1.3 million. On line 573 is accelerate senior nutrition federal spending. This saves $500,000 in the first biennium. On line 581 is governor's rec to children's mental health residential treatment. Chair is recommending not doing the new spending. However, the chair is recommending taking the savings from the delay of the foster care benefit, and that saves $4.4 million. On line 595 is a reform payment method for CD providers. The chair is recommending not doing the governor's proposal on the modifications of the CD provider rates. However, she is recommending the recommendation to freeze the rates and extends that freeze beyond the governor's proposal to June 30th of fiscal year 13, and that saves $8.6 million. There's also a one-time savings from the CD entitlement, the consolidated CD fund. On line 611 is the governor's rec to delay new mental health services. Chair is not recommending this item. On 619 is to prohibit children's therapeutic support services simultaneous treatment by multiple providers billing for separately, and this saves $380,000 in 10 and 11. On line 624 is the elimination of chemical dependency grants. This was a governor's rec. The chair is not recommending this item. 632 is the federal, and beginning on 632 are really, I believe, three or four federal compliance issues. The chair is recommending all of these: the Paris implementation, the Medicare changes, the reasonable limits, and the, and that's it for those federal compliance issues in healthcare. Then on 657 is the governor's recommendation for adjusting the individual education plan funding, and that is being recommended by the chair here, and there's no, it's cost neutral. On line 663 is basic care ratable reduction proposed by the governor. The chair is not recommending this item. However, on 675, the chair is recommending a 3% basic care ratable reduction, which excludes physicians, inpatient hospitals, mental health, dental, and other providers that have traditionally been excluded from ratable reductions. And this brings in $16.3 million in 10 and 11. On line 684 is Senate File 1547, the Senator Berglund bill that is a specialist physician rate reduction. And in the bill, it was 3%. Here, it's 5%. It saves $34.3 million in 10 and 11. On line 693 at the bottom of the page is the elimination of health care eligibility for adults without children. Chair is not recommending this item. The chair is also not recommending on line 710, elimination of Minnesota care eligibility for parents. On line 724, the chair is also not recommending elimination of chiropractic from the benefit set. Also on line 734, the chair is not recommending the elimination of dental coverage. On page 16, line 745, another governor's rec to eliminate podiatry service. Chair is not recommending this item. On 755 is the elimination of rehabilitative services from coverage, and the chair is not recommending this item. Chair is also not recommending the governor's proposal to maintain the current Minnesota care premiums. On line 777, the chair is also not recommending the Minnesota Care Rolling Month and Grace Month elimination. The chair is recommending, beginning on 786, these are a number of items from Senate File 207, Senator Berglund's Cover All Kids bill. The chair is recommending delayed verification for Minnesota Care. These are all health care access fund costs. That's a small cost of the fund. On line 794, page 17, is Minnesota Care eligibility for children over 275% of poverty. There are no program costs associated with this item, but there is a small admin cost in fiscal year 11. On line 801 is automatic eligibility for children leaving foster care, age 18 or older, to receive coverage in Minnesota Care. This is also a similar concept found in Senator Lori's bill, Senate File 665, cost of health care access fund 187 and 10 and 11, and then $4 million in 12-13. On line 809 is eliminate premiums barriers for children under 200% of poverty and auto renewal for children. It's really a kind of a package of items, and it's probably the largest cost item out of all of these from Senate File 207. $5.8 million in 10 and 11, and $84.3 million in 12-13. On line 817, eliminate Minnesota Care add-back depreciation for farmers. This was in 207, but it was also in Senate File 128, Senator Sharon bill, and this has a cost of $1.6 million in 10 and 11. On line 825 is the governor's rec to increase MAEPD premiums.
Can we just stop for a minute here? And the combined proposals here for farm families and children increase our eligibility numbers by how much?
Madam Chair, members, it's over 20,000. I think it's roughly 20,800 individuals.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, then on line 832 is a governor's recommendation to eliminate the additional two months of coverage for children transitioning off of MA onto Minnesota Care. The chair is not recommending that item. On page 18, line 841. It's a governor recommendation to eliminate the patient incentive or health incentive grants, and the chair is accepting this item as savings to the general fund of $982,010 and 11. Line 847 is healthcare program simplification recommendation from the governor. The chair is not recommending this item. On line 864 is the line managed care withhold. The chair is recommending this item, and the savings here are significantly higher than the governor's, primarily because the Senate position does not cut eligibility in Minnesota care like the governor does. On line 873 is promoting birth centers. This was Senate File 780, a Senator Berglund bill. This has savings of in 10 and 11 of $17.7 million. Some of you may note that this amount is significantly lower than approximately than the $32 million that was in the first fiscal note. So there was a fiscal note error here. On line 880 is the MA blended rate for C-sections. This is Senate File 1403. It saves $4.5 million in the first biennium. On line 889 is the colorectal cancer prevention pilot project. The small cost of DHS here is for individuals who are diagnosed with cancer and will get coverage through medical assistance. The remainder of this item is in the health department section. On line 895 is CHIPRA reauthorization option for state-only funded programs. This is a new federal revenue that's available to the state through the reauthorization of SCHIP. Brings in $9.2 million in 10 and 11. On line 904 is Senate File 1333, change of treatment of self-employment business assets in MA and Minnesota care. And this has small savings in the first biennium, but more significant savings to both the Health Care Access Fund and the General Fund and the TAILS. On 912 is a Senate proposal for diagnostic imaging prior authorization. Saves $1.2 million in 10 and 11, and the department will run this in conjunction with the ICSI, with the assistance from ICSI. On line 923 is a Senate proposal to modify anesthesia coverage and rates. This adjusts the rates that anesthesiologists are paid for supervision of nurse anesthetists. It also reduces the rates for some nurse anesthetists who are unsupervised, who currently get paid at a rate above the Medicare rate. On line 929 is the Senate File 1664, SMRT process modifications. This costs some money in 10 and 11, but it's tail savings of $1.1 million. Then on page 20, line 942 is Senate File 696, Senator Berglund bill for patient-centered decision-making. Saves $283,000 in 10 and 11. On line 954.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we go back to line 929, the smart process modifications, please? And line 934, there's 16 FTEs. I cannot remember what this is about.
Senator Rosen, this is the process by which the department makes a determination as to whether someone who's applying for Social Security disability will be found eligible for the purposes of making